Hello and welcome back to the show. This is your host, Don McCauley. Today we're welcoming to the program author Deborah Atlas, and she is the author of You Aren't Depression's Victim. Deborah, how are you?
I'm great, thanks, Don. How are you?
Good. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
Well, I am an environmental journalist. I am a professional speaker, blogger, and I am now also an author. And I live in South Texas. I've lived in Northern California, and I've lived in the Big Apple.
So tell us about your book.
This is a book about hope. It is a book that lets people see depression before it hits and lets them say, you know what? I'm not doing that today. It's a book that inspires people to get their lives back.
Now, who did you write your book for specifically? Who's your target audience here?
My target audience is women who are the highest ranked in dealing with depression, kids from 13 to 18 who I think are the second highest who deal with depression, people who have very, very stressful jobs or stressful relationships who are just dealing with stress and panic and upset and depression and COVID and all other things that are driving so many of us to depression. And it's also for people who know people who live with depression so that they can begin to recognize that that's what's going on and then see how to be better friends with them and help them deal with it. That's who it's for.
Now, could you say there's any type of central message or perhaps underlying theme that you would say runs throughout your book?
I would say that the book is about showing people that there are possibilities beyond how they see depression, and that they can begin to recognize those possibilities and step back. And I'm someone who has said enough. I am an ex-depression person who's fighting back against depression and showing people how to do it for themselves.
So if you had to choose, what would you say is the single most important idea you're sharing in your book that's really going to add value to the reader's life?
Great question. I would say that there's a reason that I called the book You Aren't Depression's Victim. It's about showing people that being a victim doesn't automatically mean that's how it always has to be when it comes to depression. That they can say, you know what, I have another possibility, and that's what I'm doing today. That's the central theme of the book, to show people how to get from A to B and take their lives back in their own hands and have peace and joy and balance.
Now, if you could compare your book with any book out there we might already be familiar with, which book would it be and why?
There's an author by the name of Jenny Lawson. She's written a number of books. And the one that really has struck me is called Broken in the Best Possible Way. She helps take the stigma off of living with depression, and she brings some laughter and humor to it and has you begin to think differently about depression. And that's what I've striven to do with my book.
So what's it like living with depression?
I would say that living with depression is like living in a dark, cold tunnel where you cannot see the light. You cannot feel the warmth. You cannot feel deep love, all of the emotions that make life so worthwhile. When you're deep in depression, none of that can get in. And it's very, very bleak. A lot of people tend to withdraw when they go deep into depression. And that makes it even harder for them because there's no social interaction. And living with depression feels extraordinarily isolating, extraordinarily lonely and confusing. And you don't often even have the language to describe it. So you can't talk about it, which makes it even more isolating. It's very painful. It's very sad. And it feels extremely hopeless. That's what living with depression had been for me since age 2.
Now, you had a brush with suicide. What can you tell us about that?
I did. When I was 14, I attempted suicide. We had a situation in our family that we didn't really know what to do about. And up until that point, I had really stepped back because my perspectives was so different than everyone else's So rather than constantly keep getting in trouble, I just learned to be quiet. But with this situation, I stepped up and tried to help and do something. And when I let everyone know what I'd done, it was like the world fell on me. And at that point, I went, it's hopeless. I feel helpless. And it's always going to be this way. And I tried to commit suicide. And fortunately, friends found out about it and told my folks, and I got saved. But it was a very bleak, bleak time. And I do want to say one thing, that a lot of people say that people who commit suicide are very selfish. They thinking only themselves. When you're in that kind of pain, there is no thinking. There is only this huge pit of despair, and you can't see anything else. And that's what it was like for me.
Now, when were you diagnosed, and what happened after your diagnosis?
I wasn't diagnosed with depression until I was 45, so I spent decades trying to figure out what the heck was going on and having no idea. It was just extremely difficult. And when I was finally diagnosed, things started to make some sense to me. I began to get a language for what had been happening and began to learn steps and techniques to help myself not only make sense of what was going on, but strategies and tips and techniques that helped me when things would begin to go that direction so that I could recognize it and maybe not have to go so far down into that dark pit. So it was a process. It wasn't an overnight thing. But as time went on and I learned more tips and techniques and strategies and began to practice them, slowly I began to get a little bit more mastery in my own life so that if I did go into depression, and I did, I have over the years, but when I would go there, it wouldn't go as deep, it wouldn't go as long, and it wouldn't be as devastating. And slowly over time, I began to see how to recognize it and go, wait, no, I can do this instead. And life became a lot more fun.
Now, you mentioned strategies. What do you mean by that? Give us an example.
I love to give examples. One of my most fun examples is when I see that I'm heading towards depression and I can see it coming now, I turn to my dog and say, okay, let's go dance. And I put on upbeat music and he goes, gets a toy. I dance, he plays, and depression has no chance. Because I figured out years ago, when you are dancing full out to upbeat music, it is physically impossible to be depressed. You cannot do it. So when I realized that, I went, okay, that's my go-to. And it's great. We dance around the living room and poof, depression's gone. Doesn't have a chance.
What was your inspiration to write this book?
It was no one thing. Back in 96, I was diagnosed with chronic fatigue, and I had a very severe case. And anyone that's ever had any kind of chronic illness and has depression, the illness drives you deep into depression. And so I began to journal a little bit. I've never been into journaling, but I began to throw some thoughts into the computer. And then later afterwards, it got better and I stopped journaling. And then a few years later, I had a car accident and threw me into depression again. And I started journaling some more. And over the years, I journaled here, I journaled there, a little here, a little there. And back in maybe 2012 or 2014, I decided to take a look and see what I had there and discovered I had so much information. That's when I decided it had to be a book. Yeah, it had to be. And then it began pressing at me to get it done. So it took me a few years once I recognized it to formalize it and put it into book form and add sections and, you know, all of the mechanics and finessing. But it took, you know, 16 years of journaling on and off and mostly off before I finally recognized this was something that should be a book and then began to work on it.
How much research went into your book?
Twofold answer. Part of it was the information that I had written about my whole process. But I reached a point when I started formalizing the book, about 8-10 months into that, I decided it would be useful. And I circled back to my therapist that I'd worked with that had diagnosed me with depression to get his perspective and also to learn a little bit more about what things had been like for me, because I'd been so deeply immersed in it, I couldn't even remember a lot of things. And he brought back to me some of the things we'd worked with. And then he made some wonderful correlations I would never have made and information I never would have gotten. So that's where serious research occurred. And from there, I did even more research. And that ended up being a whole chapter. I made sure, though, that the book is not a lot of jargon, and that the research and the medical information is as understandable and graspable as possible. I didn't want anybody to be put off by, you know, words that are too long and incomprehensible. This book is very, very readable and understandable, and I made sure that that was the case. But the research was there, and the information that people might not know about how depression and various addictions and different types of depression, all those things, it's there.
So what is it that you feel makes your book relevant today?
I would go back to the Summer Olympics and Simone Biles, when she stood up and said, "This is throwing me deep into depression. I can't do this." And it started a global conversation about depression. And that was last year, just around the same time my book came out. Since that time, athletes, celebrities, everybody in every field has begun to talk about depression. And this is a book that makes it make sense. And it's for age ranges all over the place. It's for people in every kind of industry, that they can start to understand what's been going on for them or their best friend or their parents. Now, I discovered once I was diagnosed that it's genetic. I didn't know that. And I started looking back in my family history and realizing I had some undiagnosed family members. And that explained a lot of behavior, you know, and it went back a couple of generations. So this book begins to have things make sense. That's the point.
So in your opinion, who should buy your book?
I would say women, teenagers, seniors, people who are in stressful jobs or stressful relationships, people who are readers who are dealing with difficult situations that they have no idea how to deal with, and it's driving them crazy. This can give you insight into what a next step might be and how to find some balance in the middle of it.
Do you have a website?
I do. It's my full name, Debra Atlas, DebraAtlas.com.
Well, this has been just great. Our guest today has been Debra Atlas, and she is the author of You Aren't Depression's Victim. Debra, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it so much.